and it looks like some things never change. Your hot-headed temper likes to take control. There was no way she was taking that asshole's side right now. Pax, are you serious right now? We were talking. I thought... Why are you doing this?
I need you to leave, Steed. Now.
Joe stared up at me with a shit-eating grin on his face. Nodding, I glanced between the two of them and settled my gaze on her. Fine, if that's what you want. She stared up at me, anger still visible. I guess maybe you were wrong, I said. The anger on her face immediately melted away.
What?
Maybe you did stop loving me. One more survey of Joe, and I simply nodded. You got what you wanted, fucker. Paxton stood.
Steed, wait.
Without looking back, I walked out the front door into my truck.
Steed!
I opened the door to my truck and glimpsed back at the house. You asked me to leave, Paxton. I'm doing what you asked. Unless you want me to stay. Do you want me to stay? She wrapped her arms around her body and said nothing. I slowly nodded. Okay. I guess I'll see you around. My heart felt like it had been ripped from my chest all over again. This time, before I walked away, I asked her twice if she wanted me to leave. I started up the truck and drove away. Chloe was practically pulling my arm out of socket as she dragged me behind her.
Hurry, Daddy, the carnival is about to start.
Glancing around, I couldn't help but notice all of the people. Where in the hell were some of them yesterday when Paxton needed help setting up? They must have gotten more help after we left.
A petting zoo,
Chloe shouted. Laughing, I shook my head. Pumpkin, you live at a zoo, practically. She rolled her eyes.
It's not the same, Daddy.
As we walked over to the zoo on wheels, I searched the crowd for Paxton. I knew she was here, and a part of me dreaded seeing her, especially since she let me walk away from her last night, leaving her alone with that fucker Joe. Before I knew it, I was in the damn pen chasing a duck down for Chloe to pet. The battle was won, and it was worth it when I saw the smile on Chloe's face. Her little blue eyes stared up and pleaded,
"May I get a duck?"
My heart dropped. Huh? A light chuckle came from my left. Turning, I wanted to groan when I saw Gina standing there.
They're so adorable at this age. Lily wants a duck, too.
Chloe jumped up and down.
We can get sister ducks, Daddy, and then they can have playdates.
Lily jumped around in agreement. When I looked at Gina, I had to turn away. Holy shit, if she wasn't giving me serious fuck-me eyes. Chloe, we're not getting a duck. Sorry, Pumpkin. I took her hand and glanced back at Gina. Good seeing you. We've got to run, meeting someone. Her lower lip jutted out in a pout.
Bummer. Let's plan a play date. Soon.
Lifting my hand, I called back to her. Sure, I'll get with you on it. The second we got out of the mini-zoo, I took off.
Daddy, why are we walking so fast?
Chloe asked. I slowed down my pace. Sorry, Pumpkin. How about we go find some games to play? Her smile grew bigger.
Games! Yes!
We headed over to the area that had all of the games set up. Each one they got to play for something. A homework pass for the older kids, tea with your teacher, a trip to Build-A-Bear, a floating raft trip down the Frio.
Daddy, it's a fishing game!
Something in the air changed, and I quickly looked around. Paxton was nowhere to be found, so I shook it off. Chloe was yanking on my shirt, trying to get me over to the small, circular pond where the kids were fishing. When I walked up, I glanced down. Real fish. Yep, we're back in Texas, all right.
Please, may I fish?
My Chloe loved fishing. She and Dad had already been to the lake on the ranch about a dozen times. Smiling, I motioned for the kid manning the booth to give us a pull.
Just one, sir?
He asked, confused. Laughing, I stated, she fishes better than me. When the kid handed her the fake worms, Chloe stared at him with a confused expression.
Those ain't real.
Those are not real, I corrected. She quickly glanced around and dashed over to the open field.
What's she doing?
The kid asked. A smile spread across my face, looking for a worm.
But we have worms. She has to use these.
My eyes swung back over to the kid, then I glanced around at their setup. I don't see where it's posted they have to use your bait. He glanced over to the older man, who laughed and winked.
Hey, if she's got the guts to dig her own worm, she deserves to use it.
I gave him a nod as my way of saying thank you. Chloe came back with a huge, fat earthworm.
I got me my worm, sir.
Would you like me to hook it for you?
By the look on Chloe's face, he knew her answer and handed her the pole again. Promptly getting her worm on the hook, Chloe tossed it into the water. Peeking up at me, she grinned, and my heart fluttered in my chest. I was in so much trouble with this little girl. So much trouble.
Chapter 14. Paxton. Standing to the side of the giant sign, I watched as Chloe dug up her own worm and proceeded to fish with it. Steed stood there with a proud expression. My heart ached as I watched them. The moment I saw him earlier, I wanted to run up to him and tell him I made Joe leave immediately after he left. Well, after I told him there was no way he had a chance with me. Telling Joe I was still in love with Steed had visibly hurt him, but it was the truth. Besides, we had nothing in common, and it was one of the reasons we had never worked out as a couple. That, and I wouldn't give it up for him. I hated that I had asked Steed to leave and not Joe. When Steed hit him, though, I was so angry. I hate violence, and Steed knows that. Plus, it was my way of avoiding what had happened between us in the kitchen. His admission to loving me still. My admission. And that kiss. So much more was said with that one kiss. I wasn't sure I was ready to deal with it all.
What you doing?
I nearly jumped out of my skin as I spun around and clutched at my chest. Jesus, Amelia, why would you sneak up on me like that? She tried to hide her smile and failed. Lifting her brows, she glanced past my shoulder. Were you watching Steed and Chloe? My cheeks heated. What? No. Are they here? I haven't seen them. Why would you say that? When her eyes moved back to mine, I knew she saw right through my blunder of lies. Uh-huh. I know I was little when you and Steed dated, so we really don't know each other all that well. She smiled. But I can already tell you're a terrible liar, Paxton. I dropped my head, then peeked up at her. I wasn't spying. Amelia held up her hands. I didn't say you were. Chewing on my lip, I sighed. Okay, I was spying. I'm lost, Amelia. With a soft, sympathetic grin, she glanced at her brother. So is he, Paxton. His eyes are so sad. Earlier this morning, we all had breakfast together as a family, and both Mom and I noticed it. The family was all together? I asked. She nodded with a grin. The boys have been working the ranch the last 2 days, so they're all staying at the house. It's been nice having Steed home again. Dad's thrilled he's back, and digging deeper into the business side of the ranch. The idea of having another son run the day-to-day operations has him all kinds of happy. Guilt hit me square in the chest. It was my fault he left. I told him to leave. He left his family and stayed away because of me. I'm so sorry he left town. I said. Paxton, you didn't keep him away all those years. That was his decision. A poor one, but his nonetheless. I shrugged. Turning, I glanced back at Steed and Chloe. He's such a good father. The sadness in my voice caused Amelia to put her hand on my shoulder and give it a squeeze. Steed told Mom y'all talked last night. Worrying my lip, I pulled in a breath. Yeah. I think we understand a few things better, but the pain is still there, and I don't know how to move past that. Do you want to move past it? I mean, do you still love him? My chin trembled, and I opened my mouth, but nothing came out. I wanted more than anything to admit the truth, but admitting the truth opened me up to being hurt again. I didn't think I could live through another heartbreak at the hands of Steed Parker.
Aunt Mellie! I won! I won!
My breath caught as Chloe came running up, only because I knew her father wouldn't be far behind.
That's amazing. You take after your granddaddy when it comes to fishing,
Amelia said, with a proud expression covering her face. She grinned when her brother walked up.
Look who I found, Paxton.
Chloe threw her arms around my legs.
Miss Monroe! I won at fishing!
Squatting down, I pushed a piece of her blonde hair behind her ear.
That's wonderful, Chloe Cat. What did you win?
Her smile quickly dropped.
Well, I can't really use the prize.
I frowned.
Why not?
She shrugged.
It's a mommy-daughter date package for a spa.
My eyes swung up to Steed. He wore a devastated expression on his face.
Daddy said maybe Grammy can go.
Amelia shook her head.
Well, when is it? We can go together.
Steed cleared his throat.
You'll be out of town. There's only a 2-week window.
I wasn't sure where in the hell my head was when I opened my mouth.
I can go with you.
Amelia dropped down next to me.
That's a great idea.
Chloe lit up like the Christmas tree they put up every year in the town square.
Shit, shit, shit. I should have asked Steed first. Standing, I studied him.
I mean, if you approve. He showed no emotion whatsoever, but it almost seemed like there was a hint of appreciation.
You don't have to do that. I'm sure my mom...
Chloe interjected.
Daddy, I want Miss Monroe to go. Please. Oh, Daddy, please. This would be the bestest day ever if my favorite teacher got to take me.
Her words wrapped around my heart like a warm blanket. Of course, I was her only teacher, but still, I was her favorite. I looked at Steed with an apologetic expression.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you in such a position.
He shrugged.
Nah, it's fine. If Chloe wants to take her teacher, that's fine with me.
Amelia sucked in a breath. I tried to hide the fact that his words felt like a slap in the face. I swallowed hard, then dropped back down to Chloe.
I think Chloe Cat and I are more than teacher and student. We're friends. And when we're outside of the classroom, you can call me Paxton. 'Cause you're daddy's old girlfriend, but you're just friends now, right? Is that why I can call you Paxton?
Oh, dear. I think I've made this situation worse.
Yes.
Wait,
what was I saying yes to? Clearing his throat, Steed asked.
Amelia, would you mind taking Chloe over and getting her a drink?
Steed's sister looked between the two of us. She took Chloe's hand.
Come on, Pumpkin. Let's see what goodies we can find to eat.
As we walked off, she glanced over her shoulder.
Don't be a D-I-C-K, Steed.
He rolled his eyes.
What's that spell, Aunt Mellie?
Steed watched them walk away. Once they were out of hearing range, he turned to me.
I don't need you feeling sorry for Chloe. I would have figured it out.
I was stunned and taken aback by his tone. He never talked to me like that before.
I'm sorry I didn't ask you first. It sort of slipped out.
Well, if you didn't mean to say it, I can explain to her you can't go after all. Mom can take her. It's some sort of spa day. Nails and toes and all that shit.
My hands began to sweat. If you'll allow me, I'd really like to take her. He narrowed his eyes at me.
Why?
Why not? She's an adorable little girl. Your little girl. I'd love to get to know her better.
She's not a replacement.
The sharp intake of air from my mouth had Steed closing his eyes and cursing under his breath.
Shit. I didn't mean that, Paxton.
My entire body started to shake, and bile moved to the base of my throat.
Is that what you think? You think I'm using your daughter as some sort of sick pretend game?
He shook his head.
No, of course not. I'm angry, and I shouldn't have said it.
I'm sorry you left last night. I tried to get you to stop.
Steed laughed.
What? I asked you if you wanted me to stay, and you stood there on the goddamn porch staring at me. If you had wanted me to stay, I'd have been the one watching Joe drive away, not the other way around.
I was confused and emotional. Everything we talked about. And then that kiss. Joe showing up through me, and then you had to go all caveman and hit him.
He grabbed you, Paxton.
I shook my head. I needed to tell him there was no future with him, Steed. He was getting the wrong idea, and I needed to nip it in the bud and make it clear to him.
I'll say the fuck he was. How often does he come over?
With pleading eyes, I softly said, Not here. Please don't do this here, Steed. His shoulders dropped.
There never seems to be a good time or place, Paxton.
Steed, there you are. Gina hooked her arm around Steed's, smiling. Lily has been searching all over for Chloe. Do you want to take the girls on the train together? Steed went stiff, and I was almost positive I was giving Gina the stink eye. I turned away, getting ready to excuse myself.
Sorry, Gina. Paxton's already promised me and Chloe she'd ride the train with us.
My head snapped back to look at him. Yes. Yes, I did.
Paxton! I got a pretzel!
Chloe cried out as she ran up to me. Gina's eyes about popped out of her head when Chloe called me by my first name.
Lily!
Chloe cried out as both girls hugged.
Guess what? Paxton is taking me on a mother-daughter date, but she's not my mommy. But she is Daddy's old girlfriend and my best friend now, but they like each other. A lot.
My mouth fell to the ground, and I was pretty damn sure so did everyone else's. Steed and I looked at each other, and I could feel Gina's glare. Where in the hell did Chloe get all that from?
Well, oh my, I hadn't realized you two were an item again, Gina said, as Steed and I still stood there, speechless.
Amelia laughed.
You know what they say about true love?
She winked at me, and I opened my mouth to speak, but I had nothing. Oh, Lord, rumors were fixin' to fly. Chapter 15 Paxton After Gina walked off with her daughter, Steed pointed to Amelia.
What in the heck was that?
Then he looked down at Chloe.
And why did you say Paxton and I liked each other?
With a huge grin, Chloe giggled.
"'Cause Aunt Melly said you two liked each other. A lot.'
My cheeks heated as my gaze met Steed's. We both looked at Amelia.
"'What? She asked me if y'all still liked each other. Do you deny it?'
Pushing his fingers through his hair, Steed groaned.
"'Amelia, you've got to learn to keep some things to yourself around Chloe.'
"'Really? Is that how things are going to be? How long are the two of you going to lie to each other?' To yourselves.
Chloe gasped.
Daddy, it's not nice to lie.
Steed looked exasperated.
I didn't lie, Pumpkin. I'm not lying.
Amelia's hands went to her hips as she flashed Steed a doubting smirk. My head was spinning. I wasn't ready to admit anything to anyone, let alone myself. We'd barely just scratched the surface last night. There were so many things we needed to work out.
"'Paxton, do you like my daddy?'
The air caught in my throat and burned, unsure of what to say or do. Steed gazed at me with pleading eyes, just like last night.
"'Excuse me. I really need to go check on a few things.'
I spun on the heel of my cowboy boots and walked away. Covering my mouth with my hand, I attempted to keep myself in check. It appeared I was not only good at pushing people away— But I was great at running away as well.
"'Do you know what we need?' Karina asked.
Looking up from my book, I asked,
"'What do we need, Karina?' "'A night out. Like a night out dancing and having fun. Let's go to Court's place.'
I chewed my lip. I doubted Steed would be there.
"'Come on, Paxton. I need to rub up against a dick or two.'
My mouth dropped in shock.
"'Oh, my gosh, Karina!'
She giggled. "'I just want to do some silly flirting. Feel a guy's hands on me. Please, it's been forever.' Her puppy dog eyes made me laugh. "'Fine, I could use going out.' We were soon ready. Our hair and makeup were done to perfection. I chose a mid-thigh, black, curve-hugging dress, my favorite pair of black cowboy boots finishing out the look. Karina was wearing a light purple dress she had found in my closet. It was slightly low-cut and showed the perfect amount of cleavage. Luckily, we wore the same size in both clothes and shoes. She rounded out the sexy look with a pair of teal cowboy boots. As we walked into Cord's place, I felt eyes on us. I scanned the room. I couldn't believe how packed it was.
"Oh, my God,"
Karina said, as she elbowed me 10 times in excitement.
"What?" I asked.
"They're here. Well, a few of them are. The Parker brothers."
My breath stilled. "Who? Where?"
She laughed. "Don't worry. I don't see Steed. I only see Cord, Trevor, and Mitchell." I panicked.
"How do you know it's Mitchell and not Steed?"
She laughed.
"Please.
Yes, they're twins, but they wear their hair different, and Mitchell is hot as hell."
I huffed.
"They're all hot as hell."
"Touché."
We walked over to the bar, and it didn't take long for the three of them to notice us. I got a polite smile from each, and Karina got heated stares. The kind that said they wanted to see her naked and bent over. Damn men.
"Hey, Paxton. Karina. How you ladies doing this evening?"
Trevor asked while sliding 2 Bud Lights in front of us.
"Could be better," I stated, as Karina grinned. "We are doing great. Totally in the mood for dancing," she said as she drank her liquid courage. Mitchell took that as his cue.
"Then let's go cut a rug."
Karina's eyes narrowed in confusion. It was cute how she was thrown off by some of the things folks said and did down here. Being from Chicago, she was used to a fast and crazy lifestyle. Here in small-town Texas, things moved slower.
"Cut a rug?" she asked, her nose crinkled up. I couldn't help but notice the way Mitchell smiled at her. Dear Lord, don't tell me he is attracted to her. I may not have been around the family much the last 10 years, but there was one thing I knew for a fact. Every Parker brother was a player. None of them were the least bit interested in settling down with one woman. I'd heard the rumors, and even found myself listening to a few conversations in the coffee shop of some of the Parker men's one-night stands. They usually hooked up with tourists, but a few of the local women had been the flavor of the week a time or two. But the way Mitchell was laughing with Karina had me second-guessing that stereotype. Maybe Mitchell was ready to set down his wild ways. Mitchell took Karina's hand.
"It means, let's go dance, Karina from Chicago."
Tipping my beer back, I watched them make their way to the dance floor, almost choking on my beer when I noticed how close Karina let Mitchell get. His knee was damn near in her vagina.
"Wow, Mitchell's not wasting any time, is he?" I said with a chuckle.
Trevor laughed.
"She's hot as hell, and I'm afraid she's got Mitchell's eye as well as Tripp's."
I glanced over to Cord.
"Really?"
Trevor sighed.
"Yeah, the two of them were arguing over her all the way back to the ranch. I was fucking sick of hearing about your friend by the time we got back."
Resting my chin on my hand, I asked, "What were they arguing about?"
"Who got to go after her?"
"Seriously? Go after her? What does that even mean?"
"It means they both like her. So if they both like her, they have to figure out who is going to go after her and who isn't. Brother code and all."
I laughed. "Brother code? Seriously? Y'all have that?" Trevor made a martini and gave me a serious face.
"Fuck yes, we have that. Dicks before chicks, especially when the dicks are related."
There was no way I could hide my smile, even if I wanted to. "They do know I'll kill them if either one of them hurts her. Karina's not a stick-and-leave kind of girl. She doesn't do random hookups." Trevor smirked.
"Yeah, I got that impression, and that's the reason I backed out right away. Not worth it for me."
"You're still young." He winked.
"Fuck yeah, I am. And I like pussy way too much to settle with just one."
I should have winced, but this was Trevor Parker. All the Parker boys talked that way. Even Steed. The countless times he'd whispered dirty things in my ear nearly drove me over the edge. Yet, at the same time, they treated women like princesses, whether it was a girlfriend or a random hookup. At least,
That's what I had heard. They also spoiled their sisters and would die to protect them. Oh, yes. The Parker brothers were a rare breed. Smart, strong, sexy, and not afraid of anyone. The guy next to me laughed, pulling me from my thoughts. Trevor set a drink in front of him and moved down the bar to help someone else. The guy lifted his drink and drank it almost in one go. Narrowing my eyes, I tried to place him. I'd seen him before, but I couldn't think where. He must have felt my stare, because he turned to me. My cheeks heated, and I gave him a polite grin. When he smiled back, I couldn't help but notice how nice it was. Then his eyes roamed my body, and I focused back on watching Trevor behind the bar. "You're not tired, Trev? I mean, working on the ranch all day and then coming here?" He laughed.
"Nope. Cora does it, too."
"Yeah, but you work on the ranch full-time, right?" Nodding, he replied.
"Yep. It's been nice having Steed back. I can tell he's trying to get back into the swing of things, but the extra hands are nice."
Cue the guilt. Steed's plans were to go to college for business management and then come back and start learning the business end of the ranch. I wondered if that was still his plan. "Does it bother your dad that not all the boys are involved with the ranch like you are?" I asked, while taking another drink. Trevor handed one of the waitresses a few drinks and looked at me.
"I don't think so. I mean, they all still come and work. He gets that they all had their own dreams they wanted to follow. But for me, the ranch is what I breathe. Nothing will take me away from it."
"Why do you work here?" Trevor stopped and studied me.
"Seriously, Paxton?"
"Yeah." He leaned against the counter and tossed a white rag over his shoulder, a cocky grin moving across his handsome face.
"Free beer and endless pussy. Need I say more?"
Little Trevor, who used to run around and chase the chickens, was now all grown up and talking about pussy and beer. I snarled. "No, you don't need to say any more." When I glanced over my shoulder, Karina and Mitchell were spinning around the dance floor, and she was laughing. "At least one of us is having fun," I mumbled under my breath. Finishing my beer, I held it up for Trevor to give me another. The guy who was sitting a few seats down stared so hard, I shot him a look. He smiled, and I returned the gesture. Karina's voice filled my thoughts. "Harmless flirting will do us good." "You're not from here," I stated. His eyes lit up.
"No, you're on business."
Okay, he was cute. Really cute. Maybe some harmless flirting was what I needed to forget about Steed for a bit.
"You?"
he asked. I laughed. "Born, raised, and will most likely die here." He got up and moved to the seat next to me. Sticking his hand out, he flashed me that nice smile of his, but this time it was wider and showed a dimple on his right cheek.
"Mike Ryan."
Taking his hand, I replied, "Paxton Monroe. It's nice to meet you, Mike." He kissed the back of my hand.
"The pleasure is mine."
"What brings you to Oak Springs, Texas?" I asked, taking another drink.
"I work for an accounting firm in San Antonio, hoping to pick up a rather big client."
Laughing, I asked, "Here?"
"Ranching. Makes for good money."
I grinned. "That it does, if you know what you're doing."
"And this ranch knows what it's doing. The Parker Ranch. Cordier was kind enough to show me this place after I spent the afternoon with the owner."
"John Parker," I said. His eyes lit up.
"Yes. Do you know him?"
Laughing, I replied, "Well, everyone knows John. But yes, dated one of his sons a long time ago." Mike pointed to Cord, then Trevor, with a questioning look. I chuckled. "No, his name is Steed." His smile faded. "Oh, jeez. That must mean he had met Steed."
"Ah, yes, Steed, the prodigal son who has returned home,"
he said. I lifted my brow.
"I met him this afternoon and introduced myself. I have to say, he's making things a bit difficult for me."
Rolling my eyes, I took a long drink of my beer. "Sounds like him." Mike stood and held his hand out.
"Dance with me, Paxton."
A part of me needed to say no, but another part needed to have a bit of fun, and that was exactly what I was going to do.
I'd love to dance with you, Mike.
Chapter 16. Steed. I walked into the crowded bar and saw her. Paxton was dancing with that fucker Mike Ryan. The bad feeling I got about him earlier only intensified.
Hey, Steed Parker! Are you fucking kidding me? Dude, when did you get back into town?
I had to force myself to pull my eyes off Paxton and Mike. Todd Schneider stood in front of me wearing a huge grin. I shook his hand and returned his smile. A month or so ago.
Fucking hell, man, it's been a long time.
I bet Paxton was happy to see you again. My eyes lifted to the dance floor where she was getting a little too comfortable with Mike. Todd followed my gaze.
Or maybe not. I figured y'all would hook right back up, especially since Paxton hasn't dated anyone since you left.
I shot him a look. What about Joe? He lost it, laughing.
Joe Miller? You're kidding, right? Shit, they dated off and on, but even I could tell there was nothing there, much to Joe's disappointment. I'm sure he was happy as hell you took off. Remember how he liked Paxton in high school?
Yeah, I remember.
Who's the guy she's dancing with?
Accountant from San Antonio.
Ah, fuck. That spells boring.
I laughed and Todd hit me on the back.
Let me buy you a drink.
Sure, why not? I followed Todd to the bar. Trevor glanced up and almost had a look of relief on his face. He'd called me almost an hour ago and said Mike had been feeding shots to Paxton, and she was willingly taking them. One quick call to Mom to ask her to come sit at the house while I went out, and I was out the fucking door and speeding to get here. I'd imagined the different ways I was going to pound my fist into Mike's face. Then I remembered how things went with Joe, and I simmered my ass down. I glanced over my shoulder and searched the dance floor until I saw them. The ache in my chest grew. Clearly Paxton was enjoying herself with Mike. Maybe she was over me. Maybe I read too much into that kiss and what she said in her kitchen. She said she never stopped loving me. But was she in love with me?
Hey, Todd, what can I do you?
Cord asked, pulling my attention back to the bar. Todd reached his hand out for Cord's.
Sup, Cord? I'll take a bud.
Trevor set a shot of whiskey in front of me as his eyes met mine. I reached for it, lifted it, and smiled. Damn, I'd missed my brothers. I didn't even have to say a word, and Trevor knew what I was thinking. He also knew I needed something to take the edge off. It was good to be home. Thanks for calling, I said after the shot burned down my throat. He nodded and went off to help someone else. Cord was talking to Todd, but he looked over and gave me a warning. I grinned. I wasn't about to start any trouble in his bar. Yes, I was only here because Trevor told me some asshole was all up in what was mine, but I wasn't going to make a repeat of what I did the other night at Paxton's house. Todd hit me on the side of the arm.
Hey, let's get together sometime. Catch up. I'd love for you to meet my wife. She's expecting our first baby in a few months.
I stood and shook Todd's hand.
I'd like that.
We exchanged numbers and Todd headed back over to the guys he was here with. I knew a few of them from high school, but we never hung out. Todd had worked during the summers at the ranch, and that's how we had become friends.
Don't start any shit, Steed.
Dragging my eyes back across the dance floor, I caught sight of Paxton and Mike before focusing in on Cord. I'm not here to make problems. Trevor was worried and gave me a call. I'm only here to keep my eye on her. He lifted a brow.
And if she goes home with her?
The thought made me sick to my stomach. I didn't answer. If Paxton did indeed leave with the fucker, I'd let it go. It would kill me, but I couldn't and wouldn't force myself on her. Then it will be her choice, right? Cord's eyes grew sad.
She might, Steed. They've been pretty flirty with each other.
Her friend, Karina, has been dancing all night with Mitchell, pretty much. I didn't want to look back out in the crowd. The last time I did, Mike had his hand on Paxton's ass. Pointing to the shot glass, Cord smiled.
I'm not letting you get drunk.
Laughing, I replied. I don't want to get drunk. Only want one more shot, then I'm going to leave. His eyes widened in surprise.
What?
I shrugged. She survived before I was here, right? A small line appeared between his eyes.
Yeah, well, she was never in here when you were gone. I've seen her in the bar more now that you're back than I have in the 5 years it's been open.
I'm not her babysitter, Cord. He pulled his head back and studied me.
So, this is how you're going to handle it, huh?
What do you mean?
You're going to give up.
Sliding my shot glass over to him, I said, I'll take one more, and then I'm leaving. He lifted his hands in surrender. Everyone thought they had all the answers. Well, they fucking didn't. Paxton still hated me. She wanted nothing to do with me, and that was pretty damn clear. I glanced over my shoulder just in time to see her laughing as Mike spun her around. She didn't look too torn up to me. I was the one sitting at home reliving our entire conversation over and over. Seeing her cry about gutted me. Hearing the pain and hurt in her voice killed me. And where was she? Out fucking dancing with some douche motherfucker who probably didn't even know how to jack himself off, let alone take care of her needs. Cord put the shot in front of me. I downed it. He set one more in front of me, and as I picked it up, the hair on the back of my neck lifted.
"State?"
Her voice sounded like an angel's. Putting the shot glass to my lips, I tossed it back, set it on the bar, and turned to face her. Mike stood there with his hand on her back. Paxton took a few steps away from him, breaking the contact.
"Hey, how's it going?"
I glanced over to Mike and gave him a head nod before turning back and facing Cord. I stood, pulled out my wallet, and threw some money on the bar. "I'll see y'all later," I called out to a confused Trevor. When I walked around the barstool, Paxton stepped in front of me, blocking my escape.
Where are you going?
Home. Not really in the mood to be out. She worried her bottom lip.
Did you just get here?
She asked. My gaze swung over to Mike. Fucking dick. What in the hell did she possibly see in this guy? City slicker asshole. Yeah. Enjoy your evening. Mike, good seeing you again. Mike nodded, then gave me a fucking smirk that had me bawling my fists. I had to take in a deep breath to calm myself down. I really wanted to punch the motherfucker. Stepping around Paxton, I made my way to the door. Each breath I took felt as if it burned my lungs. My feet were heavy as I made my way out into the cool fall night. How stupid was I to think I could walk back into her life like nothing happened? I was an idiot for leaving her in the first place. The lights on my truck flashed off and on as I unlocked it.
"Steed, wait!"
Turning, my eyes widened as Paxton made her way over to me. She stopped in front of me and flashed that smile I fell in love with so long ago.
"Would you be able to give me a ride home? Karina's, she's having fun with Mitchell and doesn't want to leave."
I glanced back over to the bar entrance and frowned before staring back into those beautiful blue eyes of hers. "You want me to give you a ride home?" She chewed on the corner of her mouth.
"If that's a problem, I'm sure I can talk Karina into leaving."
Paxton wasn't leaving with Mike. A sense of relief washed over my entire body, and I let out a breath I was holding.
No, I don't mind taking you home. Not at all.
There went that smile again. When she put her hand on my arm, my heart stopped.
"Thank you."
Nodding, I placed my hand on her lower back and guided her to the passenger side of the truck. Opening her door, I waited for her to climb in, but she didn't. She stared into my eyes.
"I'm sorry about the other day with Chloe. If I stepped over the line..."
I was lost in a swirl of blue. Even in the dark of night with just a few lights in the parking lot, her eyes lit up. "You didn't." She was so excited to win, and then they told her what the prize was, and her little face fell. It about killed me. She's been talking about going with you nonstop. She beamed.
"It'll be fun."
I nodded. The urge to reach out and touch her was overwhelming. "I'm sorry about Amelia, for what she told Chloe. And I'm sorry for what I said to you.
It was heartless, and I didn't mean it. Her eyes searched my face, bouncing from my lips back up to my eyes, then back down again. It was like she was struggling with some deep, eternal thought. Finally, she giggled, then gave me a wink.
I do like you, so it's not a lie.
I laughed. Well, that's better than you hating me. Her smile faded while her gaze dropped to the ground. Let's get you home, Pumpkin. Slipping into the truck, she didn't say a word. The drive back to her house was silent. It took less than 10 minutes, but it felt like a fucking eternity. My heart was pounding as I pulled up and put the truck in park. Paxton sat with her hands folded in her lap. The weight of whatever she wanted to say was heavy in the truck. The only thing I knew to do was be patient. When it was clear she wasn't about to, I opened my mouth to speak, but she beat me to it.
Will you come in?
Okay, that wasn't what I thought she was going to say. She closed her eyes and shook her head.
No, what I mean is, will you let me show you something?
I wiggled my brows. Paxton let out a soft chuckle before reaching over and hitting me on the leg.
That's not what I meant.
Sure, I'd love to come in. I jumped out of the truck and jogged around to the passenger side where I reached my hand out and helped Paxton down. She smiled, and I led the way to her front door. When we walked in, she tossed her keys into a small, square bowl. My eyes about popped out of my head. It was the bowl I'd made her in 8th grade pottery class. I didn't say anything as I continued to follow her. When she made her way over to the steps, I paused. Paxton glared.
I don't want to sleep with you, Steed. I only want to show you something.
My ego took a serious hit, and I couldn't help the look of disappointment on my face. Not because I realized I wasn't going to have sex with Paxton, because, trust me, I was fucking disappointed in that, but because she didn't seem to want me. At all. Is it something naughty? I teased while following her up the stairs.
No, she replied with a light-hearted laugh.
I could tell she was a little tipsy with the way she was walking. I had to admit it was nice to have a bit of lighter banter between us.
You feel okay, Pumpkin? I asked, watching her ass as she climbed the stairs. Yeah, I think I drank more than I thought I did. I feel a bit lightheaded.
My breathing increased with the idea of being in Paxton's bedroom. My dick was already thinking of what it wanted to do, and I adjusted myself. But the moment we walked into her room and she turned on the lights, I knew it was going to be a battle keeping my heart on at bay. I scanned the master bedroom. It was done in different shades of gray. The touches of blue in the room made me smile. It was almost exactly how we'd talked about all those years ago. Paxton sat down on the bench at the end of her bed and pulled her boots off. I stood there with my hands in my pockets, still looking around the room. Pax, is there a reason you brought me up to your bedroom, or are you trying to make me fucking crazy? Her brows lifted and a small grin tugged at the corner of her mouth.
You're going crazy being in here?
Why? I stared at her like she was insane. Do you want me to answer that honestly? She slowly nodded.
Always.
My tongue ran over my lips, and I was suddenly parched. I needed water. My head was spinning. Did I tell her the truth? What I was really thinking? Hoping? Fuck it, what did it hurt? I'm going crazy because all I want to do is bury my cock inside you and stay there all night.
Chapter 17 Paxton. My mouth dropped open, and I had to fight to hold back the moan slipping from my lips. My panties instantly dampened. Steed shrugged.
You told me to be honest, Pax. I'm being honest.
I had to shake my head to get rid of the mental image of Steed making love to me. No, the image was of Steed fucking me, hard and fast. I would be kidding myself if I said I didn't want that more than ever. But could I open my heart up to him again? Not until it was healed, and I needed to do one more thing for that to happen. Swallowing hard,
I ran my tongue along my lips. Steed's eyes turned dark with desire.
I need a moment, I think.
He stepped closer, and the air crackled between us. Gently lifting his hand, he placed it on the side of my face.
I'm sorry, Pumpkin. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable.
I shook my head, then placed my hand over his. With a soft smile, I pulled my lip between my teeth. Steed's eyes dropped and focused on my mouth. The need to have him kiss me was overwhelming. My stomach twisted and turned, my clit ached with want, and my heart was pounding. Closing my eyes, I knew what I had to do. My gaze lifted up to meet his.
I need to show you something.
He nodded and dropped his hand. Walking to the dresser, I opened the top drawer and searched for the velvet pouch. I picked it up and held it to my chest. Closing my eyes, I shut the drawer and held it out to Steed. My heart was beating so loudly in my chest, I was sure he could hear it. He glanced at the bag and smiled.
Is that the same bag I gave you the promise ring in?
Tears pricked my eyes at the memory of Steed giving me the promise ring on my 18th birthday. He had taken me to our favorite spot on the ranch, where we had sat and watched countless sunsets. We talked about our dreams and our future. He had promised me no one would ever love me like he did. He had promised to love me forever.
Yes.
The smile on his face faded. I could hardly breathe. He stared at the bag.
I promised to love you forever that night.
A tear slipped down my cheek. When his eyes lifted and caught mine, he let out a pained sigh. His thumbs came up and wiped my tears away.
I've never stopped loving you, Paxton. I know that's hard to believe, but I never once stopped loving you.
A part of me knew it was true. He called his daughter the same pet name he called me.
He sang her our song.
I could see it in his eyes, the way he was looking at me this very moment. My chin trembled as I dropped my gaze to the velvet bag. The ache I always felt when I looked at this bag hit me like a brick wall. But something about having Steed here made it hurt a little less. I need to show you this. Lifting my head, our eyes locked. I've tried moving on. I mean, I have moved on, but a part of me remains held back, still lost in that storm. My words fell out between sobs. I hated you for leaving me alone. I hated you for leaving me. You were my entire life, Steed. The reason I breathed, and you left me. His eyes filled with tears as he waited for me to keep talking. Swallowing hard, I opened the bag. It still held a beautiful card and the velvet blue ring box, but now there were two other items. I pulled out the box and card. Steed never took his eyes off of them as I set them on the end table next to my bed. Facing him, I dragged in a shaky breath. His eyes searched mine, desperate to figure out what I was going to take out. Reaching in, I took out a piece of paper along with the little plastic bag that held the pregnancy test I took the day I found out I was pregnant. Steed sucked in a breath and took a step back. My therapist kept telling me I needed to find a way to say goodbye, but I couldn't say goodbye. Tears streamed down my face. I needed you to be here with me. I needed you to be here. Steed's eyes bounced from mine to see what I held in my hand.
Is that?
His voice shook, and I watched a tear slip from his eye and trail down his face. Lifting my hand, I handed him the sonogram picture of our child. When I took the test and found out I was pregnant, I went to the doctor to confirm it. Steve's shaking hand took the picture.
Our baby,
he whispered, while running his finger over the picture. My breath caught in my throat, and my heart slammed against my chest. There were countless times I wished I had showed him that picture when I told him that day. Maybe it would have changed things. But it didn't matter. I needed to let go of the what-ifs. Oh, God, what did I do? His eyes snapped to mine. I'm so sorry. I shook my head. You didn't do anything. It wasn't meant to be. The words were hard to get out of my mouth. Yet at the same time, to hear myself say it was almost healing. Closing his eyes, Steed broke down. He dropped to the floor. Our baby. Paxton, our baby. My hands came up to my mouth as I tried to keep my own sobs back. Steed was on his knees, leaning over with his head dropped down, sobs rocking his body. Our baby. Paxton, our baby. I'm so sorry I wasn't there. I wasn't there. My heart seized. Steed was mourning the loss of our child. My eyes locked on his trembling body. I wasn't sure how he would react when I showed him the picture. I simply wanted him to see our child. Feel that love, like I had so many times. The only way I could move on was if I shared this with him. I never in my life imagined he would fall apart, exactly like I had done so many times. I dropped down in front of him. He lifted his head, and I gasped when I saw all the guilt, pain, and hurt in his eyes. Shaking my head, I forced myself to speak. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. He pinched his eyes together.
You don't have anything to say sorry for. I left you. I left you alone, and I'll never forgive myself. Never.
We kneeled in front of each other, so vulnerable and open. Bleeding hearts exposed for each of us to see. He saw my pain. I saw his heart. Guilt engulfed me. Was it selfish of me to show him this? Was it wrong of me to want him to know the child we lost? I'm not trying to hurt you. I wanted you to know. He cupped my face in his hands. The fire from his touch shot through my veins like a bolt of lightning. Even in our darkest hour, his touch thrilled me.
I'm sorry I wasn't there. I'm sorry you went through it all alone.
He closed his eyes and took in a shaky breath before focusing back on me.
Please, please, tell me you forgive me. Paxton, I'd rather die than know you won't forgive me.
His pleading words felt like they wrapped around my broken heart, healing the tear that his leaving had left. So many days I spent alone, crying like my entire world had ended because I had lost the baby. But now, staring into the eyes of the only man I'd ever loved, I realized I mourned the loss of Steed more, and I was just as much to blame as he was. When you left and didn't come back, my voice shook, and I needed a moment to steady myself before I continued. I didn't see it then, but it was my fault. I pushed you away because I was devastated we lost the baby. But when I realized you weren't coming back, I died inside, knowing I lost you. His eyes widened in horror, realizing that most of my pain was from losing him.
I swear to God, I will never leave you again. Please, tell me you forgive me, and I will make it up to you for the rest of my life.
A lightness in my chest settled in. Something I hadn't felt in over 10 years was taking root again. Peace. I knew I wanted Steed in my life. I also knew we had to take things slowly. I forgive you, but I'm scared, Steed. I don't think I could survive it if you broke my heart again. The way his eyes searched mine, I could see his pain, but something else was in there, something dark that was eating at his soul. His hands were still holding my face.
I love you, Paxton. Tell me what to do to earn back your love.
My chest tightened. Oh, Steed, you never lost my love. Never. His expression brightened, and I couldn't help the small grin that moved across my face. With a slow nod, he leaned in closer, his lips inches from mine.
"Then tell me how I'll win your trust back. I'll do anything."
I was aching for him to kiss me. Truth be told, I was aching to feel him inside me. But we needed to go slow. Sure, we could jump into my bed and fuck like rabbits all night, but would that really be the right thing to do? Besides, we had Chloe to think about. I couldn't just suddenly show up in her world. My hands came up and grabbed onto his arms. "I know how you could start." The hope in his eyes was hard to miss. I knew if I told him to make love to me, he would do it in a heartbeat. He smiled. The tears had stopped flowing for both of us. My emotions felt like they were all over the place. I was happy, relieved, horny, scared. I was all over the place, but I knew we needed to go slow. I flushed him a flirty grin. "You could take me out on a date." Steed stared at me like I was insane.
"A date?"
Nodding, I replied, "Yeah, a date." He pinched his brows together, and I almost wanted to laugh.
Pumpkin, I was kind of thinking of something else.
I lifted my brow. "Such as?"
"Well, not to sound like a total dick, because honestly, all of that was emotional as fuck. But when I said I wanted to sink my cock into you, I wasn't lying."
"Lord, help me." I whispered as I chewed on my lip. What if..." He pulled me closer. The heat from our bodies made me dizzy. "We can't do this. It would be better to go slow." I inhaled deeply. His musky scent filled my senses and shot right between my legs. Who was I kidding? I wanted him to, more than anything. The way he was looking at me, and the slight alcohol buzz I still had going on, was starting to lean me toward his idea.
"Please, let me hold you, Pax. I want to feel your body against mine. That's it, I swear."
That one sweet gesture was the only thing I needed to push me over the edge. I started to stand, and Steve followed my lead. With shaking hands, I reached for his shirt and slowly pulled it over his head. When I had a hard time getting it off, we both laughed. Steve reached for it and gave it a pull before tossing it to the ground. My eyes lingered on his perfect body. His broad chest had gotten bigger. The boy I fell in love with was now a man. His six-pack abs made my fingers itch to touch them, so I did. When my fingers moved lazily over his skin, Steed drew in a sharp breath. Chewing on my lip, I couldn't help smiling, knowing that I had made him shudder like that. Lifting my eyes, I noticed his were shut, as if he were trying to take in this moment and remember it forever. His breathing had sped, and a slight moan slipped from his soft, plump lips. When I'd had enough of abs and chest, I moved my hands to his pants. It felt like the first time all over again, as I held my breath and unbuckled his belt, then his jeans. I smiled when I noticed he had no underwear on. Picking up, I found him watching me, his eyes full of lust and desire. "No underwear, huh?" I asked with a giggle. He shook his head and kicked off his boots. My nerves were starting to build as Steed reached behind my back and unzipped my dress. It fell to the floor into a puddle at my feet. His eyes roamed my body with greed. Licking his lips, a low growl came from the back of his throat.
"Fucking hell," he said. "You are perfection."
I stood before him in nothing but pale yellow lace boy shorts and a matching push-up bra. I started to question if we should remove all of our clothes. Maybe we were moving too fast. Could we both resist the urge to be together? Steed must have seen my internal struggle. He cupped my face and gently brushed his lips over mine. I longed for his kiss more than I ever imagined.
as much as I want you right now. We can wait, Paxton. We can take things slow.
My stomach twisted with a flurry of flutters. He had no idea how much it meant for him to say that to me, how much it showed he was putting my feelings above.